This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, February 2nd edition of Invest Talk. And if this is your visit with us, our mission is to help you become a better investor. We value reason and common sense above all, something that Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks didn't possess last night. It was a pretty interesting call he made at the end of the game. I'm sure everybody watched that. Pretty big controversy. And so our goal here is to help you not make those type of mistakes. We try to help you see through all the hype that's all around. And on Invest Talk, we try to help you step back and look at the facts. Look at the history. Give you a little perspective while we're at it. And try not to get you all caught up in the hype of the media storm that follows the market and really everybody each and every day. Now, one of the ways we try to contribute to your knowledge is through our Saturday morning wealth conferences. We've been doing these for many, many years now, over a decade. And we've been doing these for yours and for you, and and our goal is to give you an opportunity that we don't really get to, you guys don't really get on Invest Talk, and that is to expand the discussion on a topic to help you better understand it. You know, on the show, we can talk about things in a very short time frame. We have an hour and usually have 5 minutes max usually on each topic. And here we get the opportunity to broaden that out a little bit. And we want to give our listeners a chance to really engage with us and understand a particular topic, in this case oil, and the industries as a whole, and really get more of an in-depth look. How do we look at it? How do professionals look at the industry? And it's on Saturday morning, and our goal is to really help you employ good investment strategies and get results based on real actionable ideas and have a strong logical basis for those ideas. Now we're counting down to this Saturday's event at the San Jose Hyatt House. It's all about oil, taking advantage of a change in the market. And whenever there's change, there's opportunity. And of course, there's always reason for to be cautious in some areas as well. So opportunity and understand where the positives and negatives are when it comes to lower oil prices. There are positives, there are negatives. Where do they lie? Where can you get tripped up? Right, by being duped by the negatives or fooled by the negatives of lower oil prices? And where can you find good opportunity as well? So if you'd like to know how the oil industry works and its far-reaching influence on other businesses and how you can discover how to capitalize on these changes, please join us this Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon. The seating is limited, and seats are filling up very fast. This is one of our most popular conferences we had in a while. Usually, we get a rush in the last week, which we don't really like because it's hard to get a good count and everything, but we've already had a rush the last couple weeks. So we're at where we normally are right now, where we are the day before the conference. So you can see there's a lot more interest in this topic. And, you know, the reason we do it is because people keep calling about oil, and it's a good topic to touch on and discuss. Now, the seating is limited, like I said, and filling up fast, so please reserve your spot. We will run out of spots. Very likely we will run out of spots at some point, so hurry up and make your reservation. It's called The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. You can sign up now on investtalk.com. Just scroll down till you see the conference heading. But now it's time to get you talking. Do you have a money question or comment on today's investing climate? Give us a call. 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T, is how to reach us during this hour or anytime. You can always leave a message, and we will answer it on the next show. So let's answer this question that came in before we started the day.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I hope you guys are having a terrific day. My question is for two stocks that I'm actually looking into purchasing. I just want to know, would you recommend these two stocks to be a good stock that you can actually buy and hold? The ticker symbol is EMR, and the other ticker symbol is PFE. Just give me your input on these two individual stocks, and as well as a question regarding coverage ratio. I want to know, what do that have to do with if you're considering a purchase of stock? Far as for dividend pay, I hear you always talk about a lot about payout ratio, but it actually is very, very important. But give me your input on coverage ratio. Thank you. Wait to hear your answer over the internet. Have a great day.
All right, he's asking about CMR and PFE. I don't know what CMR is. I think you have the wrong symbol there because I'm not seeing that. So I'll just touch on PFE. That's Pfizer. If you want to ask about CMR or whatever company you're thinking of, lock down that symbol, make sure you have the right one, and then call in again. Now, he's asking about Pfizer. Most people know who Pfizer is, one of the largest medical companies, drug companies in the world. They develop branded prescription drugs for cardiovascular, metabolic diseases, and other conditions. Yields about 3.5%. Debt ratio is 40%. That's not too high. That's not that dramatic. The problem here is earnings and revenues are falling. Not at a dramatic pace, but revenues are down in the low single digits pretty much every quarter for the past 2 years. Some quarters were close to double digits. And earnings in 2015 are going to be down 7%. Earnings were basically flat in 2014. From 2013, only up 4 cents from $2.22 to $2.26 a share, $2.26 a share. So there isn't a lot of earnings growth here. This is a big blue chip name, and if you're looking at this name, you want it because of the dividend. And it's a pretty safe dividend. And you ask about payout ratios, and the payout ratio is the percentage of their earnings that they're paying out as a dividend. Right? So they earn a certain amount per share, and then they pay out a certain amount per share. And if they pay out more than they earn over a long period of time, that becomes a problem because that money has to come from somewhere, usually from issuing more debt. Okay, so the payout ratio is important. Right now, Pfizer's payout ratio is about 63%, which is not that, it's on the border, 60%, 65%. From a normal big blue chip company, I'm talking about not a REIT or not a master limited partnership. I'm talking about a pretty standard blue chip company like Pfizer. They're reaching the upper bounds of that. So I don't see a lot of dividend growth from here. I don't see any revenue growth. In fact, it's negative. Earnings growth is negative. This is a company that's just kind of stagnant, and I think over time that's scary. So if I'm going to buy a company for the long term, Pfizer is not one of those names that I would be owning. The yield at 3.5%, while safe today, if it continues on this path over the long term, it won't be safe because earnings are going to continue to deteriorate. And eventually, if you keep dividends the same and your earnings are dropping, all of a sudden that payout ratio goes up. In fact, it's gone from 58% in 2013 to 63% trailing 12 months because you have earnings dropping. So over the long term, while Pfizer has some good drugs, think of I'm thinking Cialis, but Viagra. Pfizer makes Viagra. They have a lot of different drugs that are very popular, and that's how they have such a large revenue base, $13 billion a quarter, which is very large. But they need to have new drugs because those drugs will eventually come off patent, and I don't see too much growth in their pipeline. So Pfizer is not a name I would hold long term. And CMR, I'm still not sure what that one is. Check it out. Now, a diverse portfolio encompassing a range of real estate investment trust types, including one aggressive REIT to turbocharge income. That's our talking point today. It's called the five position offensive line of REITs. It's breaking down how to establish a REIT position, real estate investment trust position, in your portfolio if you're looking for yield. Okay, how do you do that? What companies, type of companies do you look for? How do you keep it diversified? We're going to touch on that today. But I also have some other things as well. One is oil prices, oil and gas prices. Are they about to be on the rise? They've been up for the past Friday and today, past couple days, trading days. Oil has been up about 10%. 10%. Oil prices up about 10% in the last two trading days. So what are the dynamics going on in that industry right now? And is it going to, are things going to change? You know, a report came out said most consumers don't expect oil prices or gas prices to stay this low for an extended period of time. And it's one of the reasons why the everyone's talking about, oh, well, it's a boom for the global economy and retail sales. Well, retail sales haven't been great despite lower oil prices. Well, it's because people don't really change their spending habits because of a few-month drop in gas prices. They want to see something longer-term sustained, you know, year, two, 3 years of low oil prices. Then you say, okay, maybe it's going to stay down there for a long time. So we're going to talk about that. And then I want to talk a little bit about how much risk you should take, what are the factors in that. And then Mohammed El-Arian wrote a piece about January's market volatility, because January was a very volatile market. The beginning of February was no different. And he says, is it a blip or an omen? And I'm going to talk about that as well coming up. So those are things that are on my mind, but be sure to sign up and become an InvestTalk insider. You'll get instant access to helpful investing watch lists and chart lessons. You can open our library of webinars and updates, providing valuable market guidance. It's always free. To sign up, go on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now with your money topics on InvestTalk. We want to hear your questions. Give us a call. This is InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's take a quick look at today's market. The S&P was up 26 points, the NASDAQ was up 42 points, and the Dow was up 196 points. You had oil up above $50 a barrel at the close from a low in the around 43 and change, I think early last week. And you had gold was flat after a big up day on Friday. And globally, you kind of had a modest market, a meek market. Market was down early, went up, coming back down, and really rallied late in the day. So more volatility is what we're seeing, is continuation of increased volatility since the beginning of the year. We had a down January, we had a down first week. Every time we try to rally, the market kind of sells off, but doesn't sell off too hard. It sells off 2-3%, rallies 2-3%. So a lot of chop going on, and I think a lot of people are interested in what's going to happen over in Greece, in China, and with our Fed. Now, I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein. Give us a call if you'd like at 888-99-CHART. If you'd like to get this program in podcast form, you can play it anytime, anywhere. You can subscribe and get it every day automatically. Just go to iTunes or TuneIn Radio and sign up.
Do you have a question that you'd like to ask Steve directly or Justin? Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. That's all there is to it. They'll get back to you directly. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast.
Now, Invest Talk is a two-way conversation, but if you have a question between programs, you can still ask us, and we will answer it on the next Invest Talk. We are here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Mike from Apple Valley, and I'm listening on the Internet. And I wanted to ask you about Tata Motors, symbol TTM, and what you thought of the company and what you thought it was worth. Thanks a lot.
All right, he's looking at Tata Motors. This is the largest auto company, car manufacturer in India. They manufacture heavy, medium, and light commercial vehicles, passenger cars, utility vehicles, and accessories. They make the Tata Nano, which is one of the cheapest cars in the world for mainly the country of India because of the low cost and the lack of spending ability there. So that's where they really got their name, is making cheap vehicles for that country. But they, in 2006 or 2007, they bought Jaguar and Land Rover from Ford, and now they've become kind of a global brand, a global company because of that. But it's also made them more sensitive to global economic gyrations, both up and down. They almost went bankrupt in 2007, 2008. Right? In 2008, they went 2009. They lost $1.15. The price of their shares went to $3 a share. Now they're back up to $50.76 a share, yielding right now it yields about 0.3%. So not a big dividend. Earnings supposed to go up 30% this year, 11% next year. Good positive free cash flow. Good return on equity, 28%. That's real nice. It was a lot better than that just a few years ago, but it's starting to settle in a realistic realistic number. Was 57% in 2010, but I think that was a little unrealistic at that time. So you're at a profitable company, good free cash flow, not a lot of yield, but they're in India, which makes their business volatile by being an emerging market, first of all. And then they're in the luxury space worldwide with Jaguar and Land Rover. And I think they've done a great job with that, continuing the momentum that Ford had when they bought it. And I think they're doing a great job. Is this a company I would buy today? Probably not. It's a little expensive for my taste. And it's also very cyclical. So I would like to buy this on a large pullback. It's had a big run already. It's, like I said, it's above $50 a share. I probably wouldn't buy it up here. I would want to pick it up in the low 30s. That's my number. Okay, I think this would be a great company to own if I could get it in the low 30s. I'd buy it hand over fist at that level. But today, it's a little overpriced. Not dramatically overpriced, but overpriced nonetheless. But long term, if your time horizon is 10-15 years, I think you'll do well with it. Let's go to Dennis in Del Mar. How are you doing, Dennis? Dennis, you there? Hello, Dennis. I hear noise.
David?
I'm here. What can I do for you? What can I answer for you?
I was asking about Fortinet, FTNT. It's a small, the security stock.
Okay. This is.
Wanted to see what your outlook was. Okay. What your outlook is for the 2015 year, short term or long term, and what you think about it, number wise, book wise.
Okay. Well, this is Fortinet. FTNT is the symbol. They develop unified threat management systems to provide security and networking functions through integrated circuits. So it's a computer software security company. And they're growing at a good rate when it comes to revenue, about 25% year over year on the revenue side. But they're struggling to make that translate into earnings growth. Earnings last year actually fell a penny a share from 49 cents a share in 2013 to 48. In 2015, earnings only supposed to be 50 cents a share, up 4%, and then next year up 28% to 64 cents a share. So to me, this is a company that while it's in a good space, they're not making that translate into actual earnings, which kind of worries me. I want to know why that is. Why can't they make they're growing their revenue base so dramatically, but they're not really changing their earnings base very much. Now they are changing cash flows to the positive side, which I like, but it is an expensive stock, 62 times earnings. I think this is an overhyped space, and it had a big drop a couple days ago, and it's held it a little bit, but I think this is overpriced. It's a good company. Probably good to have in your watch list, but I would want this to be probably in the low 20s, the high teens before I would pick it up. Okay, that was Fortinet. Now, do you know what portfolio turnover is? It could be costing you money. Coming up in the next half hour on Invest Talk 101. Questions? Give us a call now. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now on Invest Talk. /888-99-CHART, /888-992-4278. We have about 25 minutes left in the show to get your call in. So if you're going to make a phone call today, please do it sooner rather than later. Now, our talking point today is about REITs, real estate investment trusts. Now, investors building income-oriented portfolios should look at REITs as a good place for steady yields, steady income, but also to diversify themselves. So they're good diversifiers compared to, you know, think of drug companies or big blue chip companies like, you know, IBM or Coke or, you know, companies like that. They're a little bit different. They are still, in a lot of ways, some of them are cyclical, but that is why you should diversify. You diversify not just in a particular asset class, but you always try to break it down too into subsectors. And that's what you also need to do with REITs. And that's why a lot of people, they're chasing these mortgage REITs like Annaly Mortgage, and there's a bunch of them out there, and they yield 10, 12, 15%. Well, they're inherently risky, and that's why they've fallen so dramatically. And I definitely would never recommend any of those ones. But there are some good ones out there, and I can talk a little bit. In the article, it talks about specific companies, but what I'm going to talk about are the various types of REITs that you can invest in. One thing you have to understand about REITs from a broad perspective is that interest rates matter. They are subject to what happens in the interest rate market. The IYR, the ETF that tracks as a broad REIT basket, it fell from about 76 and change in middle of 2013 to a low of 61 and change in the latter part of 2013. So it can have volatility when interest rates go up. So understand that. And I think how that plays out over the long term, I think will be greatly determined by how quickly interest rates go up. If they go up slowly, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. If they go up rapidly, it will be a big deal. But let's drill down into the different types of sectors you should look into. Now, there's the healthcare REIT space, and you have the big three healthcare companies, Ventas, HCP, and Healthcare REIT. That's the name of it, Healthcare REIT. HCN is the symbol on that one. And they all have market values of over $20 billion. They're very diversified across different types of healthcare properties, senior housing, skilled nursing facilities, life sciences, and medical office buildings and hospitals as well. So they can get pretty diversified there. Now, there are other REITs in that sector that are more concentrated, like Senior Housing REIT, SNH. They only invest in senior housing, whereas the big three diversify themselves. I would say go with the big three. I like the diversity. Go with one of the big three. Then you have retail REITs, and then the biggest one is Realty Income, symbol is O. It's very diversified, 4,000 mostly standalone commercial buildings. The biggest problem with that sector is, frankly, Amazon and online retailing. I think over the long term, you're going to have the values erode in that sector. Doesn't mean you shouldn't put some money in there, but understand that over the long term, maybe the growth prospects there are not going to be as great as some of the other areas of the REIT space, like the healthcare REITs. And then you have other REITs that are diversified. They own office buildings, they own industrial parks, they own retail space as well. So they become very, very diversified, and those should be part of your portfolio as well. And then you have apartment communities, apartment landlords. They own tons and tons of apartment buildings, and units, and that's where they get their income from, and that is paid out to shareholders. And that's another way to diversify yourself further in the REIT space. And then finally, there are these new swath of companies that are positioned as REITs, they paid out dividends, but they're not necessarily your typical REIT that you would think of that are paying rent. One of them is like Weyerhaeuser. They've just recently turned into a REIT. But really, they just sell timberland, wood products, cellulose fibers. They're related to the real estate industry. I think that's how they got REIT status, but they're not necessarily a REIT. Okay? But they do have the REIT status, the tax-through ability, payment ability of a standard REIT. And then you have other types of kind of alternative REITs, like Digital Realty. They own technology-related real estate sites, like ones that hold big data centers, right, for the cloud, things like that. So that's another way that you can diversify yourself further in the REIT space. So when you're thinking about investing in REITs and having that as part of your portfolio, A, never have more than about 20% of your portfolio in REITs or any one particular sector, right? And so I would say if you're going to break it out, invest about 2 to 4% in each company in about 5 different companies. 2 to 4% in about 5 different REITs. And then you can become properly diversified. And that's how I would work with any industry, not just REITs. But understand, you do want to get diversified, and that goes with any industry. So you can get into just healthcare, right? You don't just buy all drug companies. You might buy a drug company. You might buy a medical device company. You might buy a biotech company. Those type of things. And this is the same with the REIT space. Now we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time each day. And if you're listening at that time, you can talk to us live at 888-99-CHART. And if you're not with us then, you can call our 24-hour listener line.
This is Nathan from Pleasanton, listening to you on KDOW. I had a question. I was listening to your podcast about the episode you were talking about risk. And I was wondering if you could give us a little insight on diversification. Some other people on the radio talk about different strategies with diversification. I'm interested in your take. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, I guess that expands on what I was just talking about, diversification. There are many ways to diversify your portfolio and just your asset base overall. One of the big problems I think people have is they get focused on one particular asset class. Like in 2006, 2005, everyone wanted to own real estate, right? That was the way for them to build their wealth and get rich and live comfortably. Well, look what happened. It can be a very volatile industry, especially during rough times. And everyone got hurt because they were over-leveraged and over-invested in real estate. Same with stocks. 99, 2000, 98, the tech bubble. Everybody, they didn't care about real estate. All they wanted was to own stocks because stocks were doing great. Everyone looked at the past 2, 3, 5 years, and everything, all the returns were great, so they thought that's what was going to happen in the future. One thing that I always tell people is never look over the past 2, 3 years and expect the exact same thing over the next 2, 3 years. The odds are you'll have something very, very different. Could be very different to the upside, could be very different to the downside, but it's probably not going to be very similar to what happened over the last 2, 3 years. That's just the nature of all asset classes. Okay? So understand that. So when it comes to diversification, start with diversifying everything. If you own a home, build up your allocation to equities. Right? And then when it starts to get kind of 50-50, then maybe you go out and buy an investment property, right? Then maybe you go out and buy, maybe a private oil well or something. So start thinking broadly, right? Start thinking broadly about diversification of all your assets. Then when it comes to your portfolio, try not to get stuck in one particular sector. Try to diversify across sectors and don't get pigeonholed into one company. Don't fall in love with one company. You know, just because you want, okay, I want 15% of my portfolio in tech. Well, it doesn't mean you take 15% of your portfolio and put it in Apple. No, you find 3 to 5 companies that you love in the tech space, and you diversify across that. Maybe you buy a large cap company, a small cap company, a mid cap company, a company that pays a dividend, companies that don't pay dividends. Diversify that way. But then also you have to look at it, you have to take the whole portfolio and you have to find some way to say, okay, if a recession hits, bad times hit, and the market goes down, how risky is my portfolio and can I handle it? If it goes down 20%, am I okay with that? Am I going to freak out and make a bad decision and sell at the bottom? If you are, you should probably change your mix, have a safer portfolio, mix in some bonds, fixed income. Right? So these are all the things that you have to think about when you're trying to diversify your total assets and then your portfolio as well. Let's go to James in Sonoma. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing fine today, Justin. You were talking about REITs, and I was wondering what you thought of VNQ, the Vanguard ETF. I've got that one only because it is so diversified. It does pay a pretty good dividend. I wonder what you thought about REITs.
Well, this is VNQ. This is similar to like IYR, like I was talking about earlier, the ETF that holds a multitude of REITs. And, you know, it's a good ETF. It's a good ETF to own. But this is a very risky sector. Now, I say risky. It's a very overvalued sector. Very overvalued sector of the market because of depressed interest rates. Now, if interest rates continue to go down, then it'll probably stay overvalued and kind of unattractive from a long-term perspective. So I'm not saying it's going to turn over tomorrow because, you know, when interest rates rise, well, everyone thought they were going to rise in 2014, and they didn't. They went down. And they've continued to go down so far this year. So I would say if you owned it for a long time?
I've owned it for 6-8 months, right before it started going up. I was lucky.
Okay. Now, what's your time horizon? I mean, if it goes down 15%, are you going to kind of flip out and sell it?
It's in an IRA. I'm the same age as me, so I'm looking at retirement in about 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so you're looking to hold this for long term and kind of have this as an income play, right?
That's it.
Okay. I don't think it's a bad thing, no, because I think it's a good ETF. It only has an expense ratio of 0.1%, which is low, and Vanguard ETFs tend to do that. But, you know, like I said, it is, I don't think there's a lot of upside appreciation potential over the long term. You know, short to medium term, interest rates, like I said, go down. That's probably, you know, going to keep this ETF and IYR and a lot of REITs continue to go up. But it is an overvalued sector, and there's not a lot of more upside potential. But if you're more worried about that yield, that 3.4%, I think that yield is pretty safe, and I think it will go up over the long term. It's just you won't get a lot of price appreciation over the long term.
Well, I've got other things I can get price appreciation on. I just wanted something that, you know, you were talking about yield, and that's what piqued my interest in the fact that investing in REITs is another segment.
Yeah.
And I've got other REITs and others in my pension fund, but this is one I just invested in.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, you're diversified with this. You're just worried about the yield. You're not really worried about the price appreciation. I think it's a fine thing to hold in your portfolio, especially if you're focused on yield.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Thanks for calling. Now we want to help you make the most of the money you've already earned and get it working harder for you. Now, the goal, of course, is to be financially independent by the time you want to retire, not have to retire. So let's work on it together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
Last week, you heard Steve talk about the importance of rebalancing your portfolio, but you have more questions about the process. Something to ask Justin about? Call and ask on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART or leave a note. Click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, quickly, I want to touch on oil prices. They've been up over the past couple days. over 10% between Friday and today. And I think this could be the start of maybe not a return to $100 a barrel in oil, but I do think $60 to $70 a barrel in oil. Now, one former Shell oil president, John Hofmeister, he predicts that U.S. oil could skyrocket from about $50 a barrel to close today to $80 by the fall. And he thinks gasoline prices will go from $2 to $4 by next winter. He says the industry is the best in the world at cutting costs when they have to reduce spending. And what's happening now is we're shutting down drilling rigs, not completing the wells that have just been drilled, and we're going to eat off the surplus oil out there probably by middle of the year. Now, he ran oil, Shell oil from 2005 to 2008, and he says U.S. producers have idled 500 rigs over the past 4 months, 55 in the last week alone, dropping to 1,366 oil rigs in operation in the United States as of last week. So it's already gone down by roughly 30% or so, and will probably continue. So this is just the nature of a commodity industry. Price goes up, supply goes up, prices go down, supply comes off, prices go back up. Now you're listening to Invest Talk. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein. If you're looking for a money management solution, please take a look at our dynamic growth portfolio, active management for optimum returns. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing. There's really no downside to it. Telling your boss about KPP Financial's 401k solution. What's in it for you? More and better choices for your 401k. Consistent management that communicates. For your boss, the company will save significant time and administration, and the 401k solution will reduce their fiduciary responsibility too. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com and click on Investments, or send a note. Click on Contact Justin, and he'll see that you get the information you need.
Let's get to one more listener line call before the day is done. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime you would like. Phil called from Anaheim.
Yes, and I'm 47 years old, concerned about my retirement. I have a 401k that I contribute to. My income level and my write-offs are such that I don't pay a lot in federal and state taxes, but I pay, as self-employed individual, a lot in Social Security. But since I don't pay a lot in federal taxes each year at this time, would I be better off, instead of putting all of this money into a 401k when the income taxes are deferred till when they're taken out, might I be better off to contribute that money to a Roth IRA, in which case I would pay federal taxes now, probably at a low tax percentage rate, then I wouldn't have to worry about the taxes when I take that out. I'm concerned that the tax rates will be higher 20 or more years from now when I retire, and that I might just be creating an annuity for the federal government. I would love any resources or feedback that you might be able to give me. And I enjoy listening to your show, and I appreciate your insights.
All right, Phil. Well, that's a great question, and I think the way you're thinking is absolutely correct. You should think about putting money into a Roth versus a Roth IRA, or in fact, a Roth 401k if that is an option at your employer. Some employers allow that and offer that. Some do not. If it's not going to push you into a much higher tax bracket, I think that is a very good idea. It's something you kind of got to have to work out with your accountant and probably ask, you know, what happens if I don't have that X amount of write-off in my for my contribution to my 401k each year. Is that going to put me into a higher tax bracket? And if it is, okay, well, what if I only do half of that and then I do some into a Roth IRA instead? Will that keep me in my tax, the right tax bracket? That type of thing I think you have to work out with your accountant. But I do think that is a good idea. You're thinking along the right lines. And that goes for everybody else. If you're in a low tax bracket, and that's why you say Roths are better for people when they're young. Well, that's true because when you're young, you're usually not making that much money, and you're probably in a lower tax bracket. But you can still be older, maybe not making a lot of money. Maybe you got laid off, or maybe you took a sabbatical from work and you didn't want to work for a couple of years and you're in a low tax bracket. That might be a good time to be putting money into a Roth IRA. So those are things you have to think about, and I like the way he is thinking. Now, before we close for the day, I want to talk a little bit about an article written by Mohammed El Arian. He has a great perspective on the global economy, global markets, and formerly of PIMCO. I've heard rumors that he might be going back there now that Bill Gross is gone. But anyway, he says a few interesting things. He said almost three-quarters of the trading days in January showed moves of more than 100 points on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And most of them were down, a little slightly more than half. But it showed you that there's a lot of volatility in the market over the past month or so. And yields on high-quality government bonds plummeted to the 10-year Treasury. That is now at 1.64% at month-end. Germany's 10-year rate touched a record low of 0.98% at month-end. You had big moves in currencies like in Singapore and Switzerland. And what he says is that many of these developments reflect the effects of a divergence, that is a large and persistent deviation among systematically important countries when it comes to economic performance and monetary policy prospects. Meaning, countries economically are moving in a lot of different directions, and monetary policy is also doing the same. And so that's affecting currency flows, it's affecting economics really around the world. And as history has shown, as he says, movement in foreign exchange markets, especially large ones, like you saw in Switzerland, have consequences for other markets. He says you've seen the problems with earnings season, several companies citing currency movements as powerful negative forces. You have lower oil prices and adjustment to that, and problems in Russia, Venezuela. You have the Syriza government in Greece signaling they're serious about ways that they're going to handle their debt there. So if this volatility continues, you could see something major happen, is basically what he is saying. The Sari Sharish in Santa Clara, we ran out of time. Give us a call tomorrow. Before we close the hour, remember the seats are filling up for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up this Saturday, February 7th. We're responding to the broad interest in oil. It's called The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. It's this Saturday in San Jose at the Hyatt House. Just go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Justin Klein, and for Steve Peasley and everyone at KP Financial, I thank you for listening today. We'll talk to you next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.